We don't really believe in Sof Zman over here, so we don't even talk about it. But the last shmooze of the Zman has to deal with going back home, not Sof Zman. We don't have to deal with Sof Zman. We have to deal with going back home. But we've been doing an amazing avod over here. We've been doing an amazing avoda on Kriya Shema, which I feel for myself, it's really opened me up. My Shema is different thanks to you. Divrei Torah Tzrichim Chizuk. If you don't work on these things, sometimes the things that are really the basic parts of our Avodas Hashem go by the wayside. And it's been incredible. Shema is Taka, a full representation of why we're here on planet Earth, of our focus, of our passions, of our plans, of our routine, of everything that we're aspiring to be. And I'd like to just finish off with Shema. It's hard to let go, and hopefully give us a little bit of a message, something to think about over Bein HaZmanim. Shema is about kol, everything. Right? V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'oidecha. Right? You give Hashem all of your nefesh, all of your heart, and all of your money, and all of the situations you have. The Yisoyed HaDavar is to give it your all. This is something that sounds easy, right? But it's not. How many of us can really say we gave it our all? But when something's very important and something is everything, when everything is about this thing, we give it our all. And this is why there's an idea over here that the Rosh already brings from Chazal, which is Nifsak in the Mishnah Berurah. When a person says Kriya Shema, they envision themselves dying al pi Kiddush Hashem, which we pointed out was a very scary thought, but really it's not. It's being driven. It's what life is about. It's what's worth giving everything up. And there's something fascinating in the Tanya. The Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he writes in Sefer Tanya, Perek Chaf Hei, and in other places, an amazing observation. He says, we find that there are Yidden throughout the generations who are not really Shomer Torah Mitzvahs Kedibay, the way they're supposed to be. And nevertheless, when they were given the option to die al pi Kiddush Hashem, you know, things they weren't even keeping, right? They weren't necessarily keeping Kashrus, Shabbos, but somebody comes and says to them, either drop this and become a Krashtin, or that's it for you. And they picked dying al pi Kiddush Hashem. People who had no shaychus whatsoever. So you could say, you know, that finally all they were carrying all this guilt and it just came out and then they said, okay, it's time to give it up. The Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya doesn't say that. He says, no, they were mamish out. They were partying well. They were really enjoying things. What he says is the following. This is an incredible Yisayt Al Pi Kabbalah, but we'll understand it on our level. There's a certain part of the neshama that you can't access, that's way beyond you. It's what some call the Pintel Yid, but it has another name. But it's something about a Yid that can't be touched. In fact, this is why the Baal Tanya in another place writes that if you have nine people like Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu, and you have somebody coming in with a Grateful Dead t-shirt, long dreadlocks, right? Obviously the Baal Tanya didn't have that in his days, but he had, you know, vodka or whatever it is, right? He needs to make the minyan, and he can make the minyan. You have nine people like Moshe and Aaron, they need this yid. So you might say, well, it shows that the greatness of the tzibur. He says, no. He says, pshat is the way you make a minyan is with a part of the neshama that this Grateful Dead guy never touched. He can't even harm it. It's so high up there that that he can't even, he can listen to the Grateful Dead all he wants, and he can go to Woodstock, he can have a party, but he can't touch this part of his neshama. He can damage all the lower parts. The part that's needed for the minyan exactly looks like Moshe and Aaron. It's untouched. That's what we call the Yid Shebay. Not what he does, but who he is. In the Sifrei Kabbalah, it's called Sviras Chachma. It doesn't really matter what it's called. But when that part of him is there, that's mamash like Moshe and Aaron. And he says that when somebody is threatened to lose their Yiddishkeit, that automatically triggers the highest part of the neshama, the part that they never even accessed, which is the part that I'm a Yid. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm a Yid. That's who I am. I'm part of Klal Yisrael. And that part of a person is invincible, is willing to die al pi Kiddush Hashem. Because being a Yid is such a major decision that it triggers the highest part of the neshama to push away all the schmutz and say, I'm taking the wheel. I'm not letting this guy with his tie-dye t-shirt mess this up. I'm taking the wheel, and the highest part of the neshama comes and dies with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Mamish. Mamish. And this is something called Jewish identity, being a Yid. Being a Yid is not what we know as the big three, right? Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah are the big three. We all know. We have to give up our lives for these things. We also know there's a fourth, Kiddush Hashem. But there's a fifth, possibly a sixth, but really a fifth, that people don't really know about. And that is Nifsuk in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin. It's unbelievable that you can learn Hilchos Kiddush Hashem, right? When you're in the situation, right, you have to know the halachas, right? There's a whole halachas here. It was amazing just to prepare the shmuz, envisioning, you know, all the different questions people ask you. What's a deal breaker, so to speak? And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins over here, Asur la'adam loymer shehu oved koychavim. The original Girsa shehu goy. The Girsa, what the Rush brings in Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to tell a guy that you're a guy. It's yeharig va'al yavor. A person has to be prepared to give up everything before they say they're a guy. And this is obviously a major issue in the Paiskim, what this means. But the pshutai kimashmo over here is that a person saying that they're not a Yid is yeharig va'yavor. Is yeharig va'yavor. And the deeper reason for this is all these things, Gilei Arayah, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, are about being a Yid. And the biggest sugya of being a Yid is being a Yid itself. Saying you're a Yid. Saying you're a Yid. And I think it's Merumas in Shema Yisrael, right? The first part of Shema Yisrael is Shema Yisrael, that we are part of Klal Yisrael, right? This is the absolute most basic idea. When a person is in this situation, right, we should all live until 120, being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Bechayim, while we're alive, right? But we see something incredible. When a person's in this situation, they're able to reveal that this world is not really where it's at. There's something much deeper. And there's a phenomena that the Maharam Mirutenberg brings in Tshuvas. The Maharam Mirutenberg talks about that we found that when a person is burnt alive, they scream. They scream. He says, Kiseder, we found that when people die al pi Kiddush Hashem, they don't make a peep. Not at all. And they bring, in the Sefer Gedolei Hadoris, they bring an Eidus from a particular city of somebody who was hanging by one leg on top of the shul, and they were putting honey on him with bees and all these things, and he made it out Bederach Nes. He made it out Bederach Nes. And he told everybody, this is in Rishonim, this is all in Rishonim, this is not in Living Emunah. This is nothing wrong with living in Muna, but this is really, really early sources. He told everyone, you don't feel anything. When you're living b'mesiris nefesh on this level, nothing pains you. Why? Because it's real, it's reality. You're pasha touching olam haba. You're pasha touching olam haba. It's about being a Yid in the most real sense. So that's obviously not something that in our lifetime, I mean, we should be Makadish Hashem Shemayim to 120 B'chai. But I'd like to talk about this idea of being Jewish and being less Jewish in our lifetimes, not in the Shulchan Aruch over here that I'm bringing. The Ali Shor in his Vadim on Kriyashma says that when people are putting their hands over their head, they go, Shema Yisrael, Hashem El Kiddush, and they picture themselves dying, El Kiddush Hashem, right? It's basically like an action movie. They're picturing, like, off a cliff, like this time of a cliff, Shema! Like, that's really exciting. I always wanted to be that guy in the movie. Now it's me, right? It's not so real, right? And it's very natural that it's not real, and we're trying our best. But he says, if somebody would learn an extra 15 minutes, it would be much harder than dying like that. Shema! Right? Because if you're really hungry and you learn an extra 15 minutes, right here, your stomach is around. Right? It's here right now. And that's much harder. That's much harder. And he suggests that there's an avoda of living al pi kiddush Hashem and Shema, which is trying to be more dedicated. But it's deeper than that. It's feeling like you're losing a little bit of what you identify with that's not good for you. Meaning, it feels a little bit like death. When you identify with something, a person identifies, I'm tied to this type of music, let's say, right? Or I'm tied to this type of, to this restaurant, despite its hechsher, that it's not the most ideal hechsher. It feels like if I let go of that, I'm letting go of something of myself. I'm letting go of something of myself. And that's what it feels like. But then a person really frees himself from things that are making him less connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's talk about being a Yid. The Rambam in Hilchas Deis says something that the Bali Musar make a very big deal of, Rav Yerucham, others. In the sixth parak of Deis, the Rambam says a statement, a fact. Derech briyosoi shel adam liyos nimshach b'deyosev v'maisev v'achareyev v'chaver v'noig b'minagam sh'medin yaso. It's the nature of man to follow the ways and ideologies and actions of his friends and the minag of the Medina that he's in. L'fikach tzarech adam lischaber l'tzadikim liyashev v'zachacham tamid. You have to expose yourself to good people because people are a creature of the habits that are in front of them, their own habits and others. And then he says you have to find a good place to live, a good city. And if you can't find a good city, eventually he says you should live in the desert. Right? It's very interesting, this Rambam. The Rambam says that wherever you live, you're going to be similar to those people. Right? It's a natural phenomena. However, today, our situation is not natural. It's scary. And I'm here not to give mussar. I'm just here to tell you my worries. Very serious worries. Even just the difference between this yeshiva, let's say, 10 years ago, and now, the types of boys, the way they think. We're not just living in America. We don't have a home. We don't have a home. Because of the nature of all the technology and everything that's around us, we don't have a place that represents Yiddishkeit whatsoever in our lives. Not one. Not one. But it's even more than that. Because now I'm talking about all of the various movies and TV shows, whether it's Netflix, mobile vids, Telegram, YouTube TV, whatever the case may be, there's a tremendous danger to our Yiddishkeit from these things. Aside from the fact that usually these things are used from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., and they're incredibly addicting. In fact, they have a way of sucking you in. After you see one episode, a person wants to binge, right, all of the things that they missed over this month. What they do is that you finish the show, and then it says in 10 seconds the next show will begin, in 9 seconds, 8 seconds. You're not sure what to do. It's 3 in the morning, right? And then begins, right? They got you. They got you. They don't even give you, they know exactly what they're doing. They're making us into robots. They don't give you the option. Right? In the old days, when we did anything on the computers, like, would you like to continue? They were nice about it. Now it's like, you will continue. Right? And people can go till 5 in the morning with these things. Rahmana Litzlan. But it's not just the time. It brings you into a world that's not the world of a Jew. That's not the world of a Jew. I was once, when I was a bacher, I wouldn't do this again. There are a lot of things I wouldn't do again. This is one of them. I went to a Shabbaton for Kiruv in Atlanta as a bacher. They flew me there, so I thought it was very exciting. You know, whenever you're flown somewhere, you feel very good. But I would have, next time I would have skipped it. They put me in a room with these big football players, totally secular people. I don't remember if they had tattoos. And I'm just like, I want to go home. I was so scared. And I was stuck with these people for a few hours. And then I told the head of the program, I'm not staying here. They relocated me. But for a little bit of time, they were like giving me the third degree. And I was a young bacher. I don't know, it was maybe I was 20, maybe 19. And something came up with about movies. That like came up that I don't watch movies, I don't watch television. Now I became like a caveman. Now I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna get, I just wanted to leave at this point. Really felt awkward. But they demanded an explanation for this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me Siyata Dishmaya. And I said to them, I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone into a movie and left in a very bad mood? Very sad. You know, one of those dramas, whatever. Like, these are macho guys. And then, like one of them, yeah, I cried. I cried, right? Fine. So I said to him, I said, why? Why do you cry? These people were paid millions of dollars to do this movie. They had a big bash after this, after they finished the movie. Everybody's living happily ever after. What's going on over here? Right? So I told them, I said, listen, I have a life to live. I have emotions. I have things that make me happy. I have things that make me sad. I want to live my own life. I want to be able to experience things in the way that are mine and not have somebody go 10, 9, 8, 7, totally control my emotions. You know, there are these plots of, let's say you have an extremely overweight, a guy has an extremely overweight wife with a high-pitched voice, right? And she's driving him mad, right? And then there's this wonderful, wonderful nanny who comes to the house. She's gewaltig, everything's sus and v'simcha. She's so considerate, and she even listens to his problems while his tubby wife goes, you know, to flip burgers and McDonald's or whatever she does, right? And they forge a relationship. And they forge a relationship, and eventually, b'chesed, right? He ditches his wife, and he goes with this lady. Every one of us, if we watch this movie, would be rooting for this guy. What do you need that lady for, right? What do you need that? Look at her. She's a slob, this. Look at this nice nanny, right? Ah, it's true, you have a kid. The kid will figure it out. Whatever. Don't worry, right? Everything will be happily ever after. It's a way of taking a yid and making him into a guy. Actually, making him into a guy. Just recently, I went to Migdal Emek. Migdal Emek is a city that Rav Grossman Shlita, one of the Lamed Vavneks, he built a whole city with kids from broken homes, and now they got bigger, and then they work there, and they stay there. I took a whole tour with Rav Grossman. Amazing, amazing city. And we were in this, in their base medrash, and they were singing Vizakeni Legada. Vizakeni Legada. And I'm a very emotional guy. It's to a flaw. And I push it, really wanted to burst. I did not want to cry in front of these people. But I was ready to explode from emotion. And it was great. It was mine. It was an experience. The other day, Rav Wolgelanter spoke about the Beis HaMikdash. I've never heard anything like that. I've never heard anything like that. This is a man who can see the Har HaBayis from his home. This is a man who lives with the Ribbono Shalom. He's somebody who lost a sister, who lost his mother at a young age, who lost a child, who has a wife who has been very, very sick. And you're listening to this man, and he's there with the Ribbono Shalom. These are powerful emotional experiences. I'm going to say an awesome chiddush, and I believe it's right. But it's an awesome chiddush. I'm being maskim that it's an awesome chiddush. An awesome chiddush. The Chazal tell us, why are we stuck in these times of the Churban HaBayis? Because Klal Yisrael went, the Meraglim, right? And they said, we can't make it into Eretz Yisrael. And everyone started crying. Everyone started crying. And Hashem says, ooh, a bechiyah shel chinam? You're crying for no reason? So then I'll give you something to cry about. Right? Now, the pshat here is obvious. That bechiyah shel chinam is, they were crying about something that Hashem was giving them a gift, and they're crying about that? You're going to cry about that? But it says something much different. It says a bechiyah shel chinam. It's not just complaining. It's a wasted tear. It's a wasted tear for the wrong thing. And I think that this whole mareches of emotion, of excitement, of drama, of suspense, of laughing, of crying, is nichlal in the upheaval of a tzuras Yehudi and of a tzelem Elokim. All of the experiences that we have of emotion, of helping people, of advancing in our avodas Hashem, of conquering a yetzer, when we use those for nothing, it becomes a bechiyah shel chinam mamish. A bechiyah shel chinam mamish. And I don't envy this generation. I really don't envy you. I'm going to tell you a story. I've decided it's okay. I'm okay with telling stories from when I was younger. There's a very basic reason why. Because even if I wasn't doing the best things in the world, at that point in my life, I was from a totally modern background, and it wasn't even a rebellion. So if you tell people things that are not a rebellion, bichlal. So it's just reflecting on the past. I remember when I was in first year, back, you know, in the olden days when we had a horse and buggy, you know? And I remember we decided, enough in yeshiva, there's no entertainment, so we need to watch a movie, right? We need to watch a movie. So, you know, this was a big thing back then, you know, a movie, right? A movie. So they didn't have theaters in Eretz Yisrael. They had theaters of things that were from 15 years before, right? Black and white movies, whatever they had in Eretz Yisrael. But there was a guy who, his mother had a video store, video rental store. And he got something that was pretty recent. This was like a big deal. Because they give these video stores like a thing they're not allowed to give out, but they're like, you know, they stick it in their store and they show it at the window, whatever it is. So this was like the closest experience to what we needed. Okay. Then you need a VCR. That's what a VCR is, this thing. It goes like this. Okay. So we had to go to Blockbuster Video, which was just, they had one in Yerushalayim. They gave you this big VCR. Okay, it comes with all these cables, right? Then we needed a place to hook it up, right? We didn't figure that one out, right? So then we found a place to hook it up, okay? And then you have there's the red plug and the yellow plug, and they've got the input, the output, right? All these different interesting things. Fine. And then there was a movie, and it had this annoying thing going over it, like, don't copy me, don't copy this, don't copyright, copyright. Like, the whole, like, you're trying to watch and you're seeing this thing, and it was an awful video. And I just said to myself, I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. I went to the base measure. I'm like, this is too much. This is too much. That was in my generation. So I always thought, and I've been saying over the years, that if I was in your generation, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because you guys have bigger nisyanos. However, I've changed my mind about this. I think it's wrong. even though it's nice, you start off the shmooze. I'm giving you mussar, but it's really for me. If I was in your generation, I would be a doormat. You're the gedolei hador. I'm a nobody, right? It's a great way to get people to listen. But I decided it's wrong. I'll tell you why. Because I was going back, and I was looking at the difference between the decisions that I made at this age and the decisions of some other people. And I realized I made decisions of b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'idecha. I went all in. I didn't just dabble in Yiddishkeit. And I concluded that maybe it's possible that in this generation, I would have gone b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'idecha. There were a lot of hard things that I had to go through in order to get where I got. Maybe I would have dropped all of these other things too. I think if it's b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'idecha, then there could be hope in any generation. You could get there anytime. And if I don't believe in myself, then really I'm giving up on you. I changed my mind about this. If I say that I couldn't do it, so then it's not fair that I should even expect you to do it. I think I could do it. With the help of Hashem, I think I would have done it. It's about being on board. And I was once with my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro. This I've never said in public, and I'm not going to disclose all the details here or even any of them. But I was there with a very big person who I was working with on the side. I was like on the sidelines, and this person was the one who was really the focus of the meeting. And there was a certain goal of the meeting that would take years to achieve. And Rav Moshe Shapiro only saw part of it finished. But he said that if this is finished, or when this is finished, you're going to shecht a cow and give out all of the meat at the Suda. Okay? Now my Rebbe's gone, and the accomplishment for this group of people is very close. And my kids know I'm looking for a cow. It was a big handle. I spoke to one of the Talmidim of Moshe. Was he really serious? Because I thought it was, he never told me to shecht a cow before. And there are certain things that are worth shechting a cow. There are certain things that are worth shechting a cow. Now, I'm not going to discuss what Rav Moshe's were, but I was thinking of buying a barbecue. This is like Yerida Sederis. I'm willing to buy a barbecue. This is my move. An expensive one, a Weber. A Weber is a good barbecue. I decided before the shmooze that I would like to buy a barbecue and make a Suda after Ben Azmanim. Not just a Suda after this Ben Azmanim, but a Suda after next Ben Azmanim. And after that, this Weber, this is going to be my cow. This is going to be, maybe we'll get a cow too. But I would like to up the stakes a little bit. Last Ben Azmanim was the best Ben Azmanim by far of the challenges of this generation in areas of real Dvarim Asurim. From the Bachram in this yeshiva, I can be meyed, people tell me things. We worked the whole winter on very usher things. Fine, we've graduated from that. And I think we have to realize we've graduated from that. Now a person has to try to think about giving up over Bein Azmanim, things that make us less Jewish. And this is not for everybody. I actually have a small piece of paper here. It says the Chevraya Kedisha, not the Chevra Kedisha, Chevraya Kedisha. This was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Chevra, that was what they were called. And it's for people who want to celebrate being Jewish. There's no incentive to this. The only incentive is to experience giving up being a guy and being happy being a yid. To not see any types of movies or television or any of these types of images that bring a person down, but to experience being that focused. And then afterwards, after Ben Azmanim, whoever signs up for it before, not the people who happen to be matzliach, a person who's setting a goal, will go, we'll have a barbecue, and I called my mashgiach. My mashgiach, I have rabbeim, right? This is how it works. The only reason I'm up here is because I have rabbeim. And my mashgiach, Rav Naftali Kaplan, who is a malach Hashem svakas, he's a person that I can personally be meyed, knows what happens to every minute in his day. For like the past 60 or 70 years, at least. He's somebody who really is worked out, and he's a dmus for me of greatness. It wasn't just for me. When I went to Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, that Rav Aaron Leib was machabin him as somebody that he's somechan in this generation. And I called him this morning, and I said, does the mashgiach have time to speak to me? I don't like to speak to him. I get nervous. I start tucking in my shirt, right, my jacket, because I'm calling the mashgiach. And I said, does the mashgiach have a minute? And he says, I have four. By the way, he does that all the time. He figures out how many minutes he has. Doesn't have 3.5. He doesn't have 5. He has 4. Okay, that was perfect. So I told him, I said, I'm working on this group, and I want to expose them to Gedolei Yisrael. I didn't say that. I said to the Mashgiach, right? So he said, what would they want from me? You can't tell him he's great. It doesn't work. So I told him, I said, listen, I'm your Talmud, so they'll be inspired because, you know, it's a generation above. So he said to me, if you think that it's L'Toeles, then I'll do it. I'll meet with them in Elul. And I want to keep doing this. I want to have barbecues and meet Gedolim. And I think that we really don't believe in ourselves properly. I think that we're not taking ourselves seriously. We don't realize what we're capable of achieving. And we need to make a chabura for this type of thing. And we have to realize there's another part of Shema that we didn't talk about, which is Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. This is absolutely the last part of Kriya Shema that we didn't talk about. We covered everything. Whoever thinks that we didn't, listen very carefully through all the jokes and the things and the Mar Makomos. We covered every aspect of Kriya Shema, I think. And it could be that over Bein Hazmanim, I'll send out either emails or podcasts of Tefillin and Tzitzis, separate Vadim, just for people who want to listen over Bein Hazmanim, a new thing. We never did that before. But to just be mashlim. But there's something called Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. We mentioned Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? So the Derech Hashem explains that every time a Yid mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim, he's being ma'orer ha'ara that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, that we are not stuck in Mitzrayim. Everyone has a Mitzrayim in their life, but Hashem schleps them out of their Mitzrayim. And we're capable of this. We're capable of doing this. We're capable of doing it for no other reason than we want to be bigger. So we should all have Siyata Dishmaya. I just want to go over a couple of points just for 2 minutes in Bein Hazmanim. We mentioned Bein Hazmanim, Kriya Shema, Zman Kriya Shema. Zman Kriya Shema, I think in New York right now is like 9:25 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. There's a person can go to a proper minyan, and it could even be a late minyan, and make Zman Kriya Shema. If someone wants to go to even later minyan, when they wake up, they should say Kriya Shema as soon as they wake up. Also on planes, people wait too long to say Kriya Shema. I'm giving you an etzah. As soon as you wake up and you go like this, I am not getting up, right? You get up, like, I'm not getting up. Just say Shema right then. It's the most confusing thing on a plane when Shema is. Nobody knows. Even the people who did Air Mizmanim, it's like, we shall have no responsibility for anything. If this flight changes, like, now they change the flight for 5 minutes, like, different course. No! There goes my Kriya Shema, right? After, like, I had my mother on Air Mizmanim for, like, an hour figuring this whole thing and the computations, right? They just changed the flight slightly. A person should understand that Kriya Shema is to be said on a plane as soon as you wake up. It's a big relief. I did that. Right, a lot of times you see guys who are starting, it's just like, they look, if it's light out, right, everyone else is davening mincha, they're saying shachris at that point, right? Person has to realize the sense of zman. And a person who has a proper schedule in Bein Hazmanim is successful. It breeds success to have a schedule. A person should try to, if a person has a seder, which of course, a person should learn V'yigisim b'yom v'layla. A person should attach it to Shachris or Mincha and Marav. While you're in a place that's an environment of Yiddishkeit, you're much more likely to be successful in learning. If a person has a hard time learning sometimes, you're just sitting there and it's not going, the technology that's a bracha in this generation is you could just turn on a shiur and let the rabbi learn the Gemara and you just sit there with your iced coffee. And in Bein Hazmanim, whatever works. Whatever works. You could use technology to your advantage It's an amazing thing. And also just to keep busy at all costs. Anything and everything. Basketball, hockey, football, a job. Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Sheyigias Shnehem Mishkachas Oven. Rav Yerucham is Medayik. We always point this out. Talmud Torah with work is good. Sheyigias Shnehem. Not just being Yigia and learning. Yigia in Derech Eretz. Being busy is Mishkachas Oven. There's nothing worse than having too much free time. And the real focal point today in Bein Hazmanim is just being good. Being a Jew. Being a Yid. However you do it. And I have this sheet, whoever would like to be part of this Chabura, the whole motivation of this Chabura is to be a real Yid, to make real decisions, and we should have tremendous Yad Dishmaya. Unfortunately, I have to make this just for the yeshiva, just because I don't know, it could get confusing outside the yeshiva, but it doesn't mean that anyone who's here from other yeshivas can't be part of the push and the excitement of making these full decisions b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, and b'chol meidecha.